Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Revelation chapter 4 gives us a look into God's throne room and what a room it is. The symbolic language can only give us a hint of the majesty of that most holy place. Today, more of our preview of heaven, the place in the invisible world we most want to see. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on the invisible world, where battles are lost and won. Now, turn to Revelation chapter 4 for more of the final message in this series, A Glimpse into Heaven.
This is a terrifying throne. It reminds us of the children of Israel at Sinai, where flashes of lightning and thunder are coming, and God says, stay back, get back. If you come close to the mountain, you will be incinerated. And if an animal gets close, don't touch the animal. Shoot him with an arrow at a distance, because God is coming. When the text says that there are seven torches like seven spirits of God, don't ever think that there are actually seven holy spirits. This is really a reference to the fullness of the Spirit in all of his fullness. For example, in Isaiah 11, we read that the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So it's different aspects of the ministry of the Spirit. And it, of course, is before the throne. And the Holy Spirit of God is the one who mediates Jesus Christ to us today in his absence, in Christ's absence. So here you have the Holy Spirit present also at the throne. But what's going on there in the text? John wants us to understand the absolute centrality, the centrality of God in the midst of his universe and in the midst of his heaven. The centrality of God, the indescribable majesty of God, the beauty of God, if you please. And it's right in the midst of heaven. God dwells here. Wow. So the first thing we notice is this one throne. But there are other thrones. There are lesser thrones. You'll notice that John is speaking here. And if I can go back to my text here, John is speaking, and he says in verse 4, and around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. Who are they? Of course, there's been a lot of discussion among commentators as to who these 24 are. Some people say that it's just a higher level of angels. I don't think so for the following reasons. First of all, whenever you have those that are clothed in white, you think of redeemed saints. In fact, as God spoke to the seven churches, he said, those who are faithful, I will clothe them in white. But even more telling, they have crowns on their head. And nowhere in the book of Revelation or elsewhere do we ever find that angels get to rule with Jesus Christ. And these 24 elders rule with Christ. It may be the rapture church. If you believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, you believe that this is now, the church has been raptured in heaven, and it represents 24 fullness. Priests came in 24 shifts. So it may be that, maybe also, and here we're just speculating, since you have 24, it may refer to the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 sons of Jacob, the 12 apostles, Old Testament saints, New Testament saints, together with the 24 elders representing the entire spectrum of God's redemptive history. But here they are, the 24 elders. And they, as we'll see in a moment, they worship, but also all throughout the book of Revelation, you find that they are involved. For example, this comes to us from chapter 11. And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give thanks to you, O Lord Almighty, who is and who was, for you have taken your great power and begun to reign. The nations raged, but your wrath has come, and the time for the dead to be judged, and for rewarding your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, both small and great, and for destroying the destroyers of the earth. Have you ever met a destroyer? The destroyers will be destroyed. So there you have the elders continuing to worship all throughout the book of Revelation. Let's go on to another order of beings as we look here at the throne, an order of beings that is closer to the throne than the elders. You'll notice it says in verse 6, "And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind." I was going to mention that if you're an artist, don't even attempt to draw the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation. I've seen attempts, and they're pretty pathetic. This is beyond all human imagination. It's okay to do it in a classroom so that you get the picture, but notice that these creatures, full of eyes in the front and behind, in fact, it says in verse 8, each of them have six wings. They are full of eyes all around and within. Wow, I don't know that you want to really draw that. But notice, the first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. Don't ever get the impression that in heaven there was a lion, in heaven there was an ox, in heaven there was an eagle in flight. No, remember what I mentioned at the beginning of the message. John is grasping for something to associate it with in this world because he has no vocabulary or category to describe what he is seeing. It has been pointed out that these are, of course, cherubim. We see this also from the book of Ezekiel as well as Isaiah. These are cherubim, and it has been said, you know, that the lion represents royalty, the ox represents strength, man represents intelligence, eagles represent speed, etc. That's the best we can do. But the point is, it is indescribable. And they have six wings. And from Isaiah, we learn that with two they cover their face, because not even angels can look directly at God and his indescribable holiness. With two they cover their feet, and they do that because they know that they are in the presence of holiness and greatness and majesty. And then with two they fly, and they fly as a mark of their obedience, and day and night without being tired ever, because they live in a different realm, they are giving praise and honor and gratitude to God. And they also are found throughout the book of Revelation. For example, in chapter 6, when the seven seals begin to be opened, it says, "Come, and I looked, and behold, a white horse. I heard one of the four living creatures say with a voice of thunder, 'Come.'" So they participate in the judgments of the earth, and they are found also throughout the book of Revelation. So we've looked very briefly, all too briefly, at the personalities that are around the throne. You have, of course, the great throne, God. You have the elders, the 24, that are more distant. And then you have the living creatures that are right there next to the throne. But even there, someone is closer, as we'll see in a moment. What's the activity of heaven? What's going on there? What's the activity? Is it a place of rest and tranquility? Most people believe that heaven is going to be a place where we'll sing number one in the hymnal, sing all the way through, and then when we're finished, we begin again at number one. And they think it is going to be boring. Let me tell you something today. In heaven, you are going to be more active than you ever were on earth. being given assignments by God to glorify Him with perfect fulfillment and joy and freedom. It is. I said to myself this week, preparing this message, if it's half as good as I'm going to describe it and have already described it from the book of Revelation, we're in for a fantastic time. Let me just say that. So what's going on? Worship. Ceaselessly. And I want you to notice the order of beings, all right? The closest around the throne are the four living creatures. They are a high level of angels, of cherubim, as shown also in the book of Ezekiel and in Isaiah. And then what's the next order around the throne? A little farther back, the 24 elders. And you'll notice it says that they are full of eyes. We're speaking here in verse 8 about the beasts, or the living creatures, I should say, around the throne. They are around within, and day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Sometimes we define the word holy as separate. How would that sound? Separate, separate is the Lord God Almighty. Of course He's separate. But it's much more than that. It has a moral quality. It is something like our word purity. It is the utmost purity and holiness without even a smidgen of darkness or sin. That's what they mean when they say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts." And my friend, isn't it remarkable that even though God is impeccably holy, we're so thankful that He descended in Jesus Christ into this world. As we think about Thanksgiving, we are reminded of the fact that we have so much to be thankful for, but especially the coming of Jesus. And as all of us think about Thanksgiving, we immediately also think about the Christmas season. And I don't know about you, but I certainly am ready for Christmas this year. After a year in which there has been so much conflict, so much misunderstanding, so many claims and counterclaims, isn't it wonderful that we have a message of hope and joy? We've prepared a CD entitled Songs for a Holy Night. It includes some of your favorites like O Come All Ye Faithful, Silent Night, One Small Child, O Holy Night, O Little Town of Bethlehem. We all love the Christmas carols, and we are so thankful that for a gift of any amount, this CD can be yours. Ask for Songs for a Holy Night. We believe that these carols are going to be a special blessing to you during this special Christmas season.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. You've heard Erwin Lutzer with more of A Glimpse into Heaven, the last message in a series on the invisible world. Next time, more of our glimpse into the future for every believer in Christ. The first Christmas was indeed a holy night, and we'd like you to have a beautiful CD we're calling Songs for a Holy Night as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.